But if you were here last week, you know that we are just beginning a new study through the New Testament book of James. Last week, we learned a little bit about James's character. We learned that James, the younger brother of Jesus, was a humble man, a servant of God, as it says in verse 1 of chapter 1. We also learned that James was a man of wisdom. James was also a man with deadly devotion. James was willing to suffer, even die, for what he believed. You know, the book of James is actually written, addressed to Hebrew Christians who made up the 12 tribes that were scattered among the nations living outside Palestine at the time of the writing. James's communication was at a time when these people were experiencing a lot of tough times, needing encouragement to persevere in their faith. Hopefully, on your way in this evening, you received an outline, because we're going to continue our study looking at James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. So let's read tonight's scripture from the Contemporary English translation. My friends, be glad, even if you have a lot of trouble. You know that you learn to endure by having your faith tested. But you must learn to endure everything so that you will be completely mature and not lacking in anything. After reading the opening lines of James's letter, the people of his time, they were probably surprised. Instead of sympathizing with them and offering them comfort in their time of trouble, James urged them to consider their trials and to be glad. Just what struggles and difficulties were the people experiencing at the times of James's letter? Well, I imagine they look a lot like the troubles and struggles that people in our time experience. At first glance, James's words seem insensitive. What would you think if you were the young girl in tonight's drama? After losing your close friend in a car accident, and someone in authority walks up to you, and their first words are, "Be glad." How about the woman who found out she has cancer when she had a young daughter? What's her response when she gets a call from a friend? Be glad. Let me reassure you, James was most certainly not addressing the people amidst tough times with insensitivity. Instead, he was urging and encouraging them to rejoice because of what God would accomplish through them in their spiritual lives in these tough times. As I studied for tonight, I was reminded of a man in the Bible, Job, who went through some extremely tough times. Virtually the entire book of Job is devoted to the story of how he endured these tough times as he served God. In fact, the hardships were so incredibly bad, so awful, that if his life was made in a TV miniseries, I think it would be something like Job and the terrible, rotten, miserable, very bad for a while life. As I started to read the book of Job and began to learn about his life, it became clear to me, you know what? This book of the Bible provides some answers directly from God to tonight's big question. Why? Why do tough times happen? Maybe someone here tonight is asking God, why am I unemployed? And what can God do through my life? Because I don't have a job. Maybe others are struggling to understand, why is my marriage on the ropes? What can God do with a marriage that's skating on thin ice? Some of you tonight are asking, why, God, haven't you answered my prayer? Why haven't you rescued me from my tough time? Whatever that might be. Job offers God's perspective on the adversity we sometimes face. So tonight, by looking at the life of Job, we will learn what James was talking about when he said, "My friends, be glad, even if you have a lot of trouble. You must learn to endure everything so that you will be completely mature and not lacking in anything." So let's read Job chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Job was a man who lived in Uz. He was honest inside and out, a man of his word, who was totally devoted to God and hated evil with a passion. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was also very wealthy. 7,000 head of sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 teams of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a huge staff of servants. The most influential man in all the East. Job had it all. He was an honest man, the Bible said, inside and out. Everything about Job was honest. He was totally devoted to God. You know, that sounds a lot like James and his deadly devotion we learned about last week. The Bible tells us Job was very wealthy. You can see the large amount of possessions he had, the animals. And he was the most influential man in all the East. That's a big piece of land. And Job was blessed with 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was a model father. You see, Job, his sons would actually have feasts for the rest of the family. They would invite the brothers and sisters over to the house. And the next morning, Job would get up early. And he would actually offer a burnt sacrifice on behalf of each and every one of his 10 children, just in case they had sinned. Well, let's fast forward a few verses to chapter 1, verse 6, and learn how the tough times entered into Job's life. Allow me to read it for you. One day when the angels had gathered around the Lord, Satan was there with them. The Lord asked, "Satan, where have you been?" Satan replied, "I've been going all over the earth." Then the Lord said, "What do you think of my servant Job? No one on earth is like him. He is a truly good person who respects me and refuses to do evil." "Why shouldn't he respect you?" Satan remarked. "You're like a wall protecting not only him, but his entire family and all of his property. You make him successful in everything he does. And his flocks and herds are everywhere. Try taking away everything he owns, and he'll curse you to your face." The Lord replied, "All right, Satan, do what you want with anything that belongs to him, but don't harm Job." What happens next surely would shake the foundation of Job, one of God's greatest followers, wouldn't it? Let's find out. So we have Job's sons and daughters. They're over here having one of those feasts. And the Bible doesn't say, or at least I couldn't see where Job was, but he's somewhere different. And a messenger comes running up to him and he says, "Job, Job, 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 I need to talk to you. The Sabians attacked and they carried off all of your oxen and donkeys and they killed all of your slaves. Only I escaped to tell you." Now that person didn't even finish a sentence before a second messenger came up. "Job, Job, Job, the fire of God came from the sky and burned up all your sheep and all the servants. Only I escaped to tell you." That person hadn't finished talking before a third messenger came up. "Job, Job, the Chaldeans, they carried off all the camels. They killed all the servants. Only I escaped to tell you." And a fourth messenger came up right away. "Job, Job, oh my, while your sons and daughters were feasting, a mighty wind came and struck the four corners of your home, of their home, and it collapsed on them. And only I escaped to tell you." Not one, not two, not three, but 4 massive blows Job had to endure back to back. In just a matter of a few minutes, he lost all of his wealth and he lost all 10 of his children. So just how did Job respond? Would he curse God as Satan predicted? Let me read for you, picking up in verse 21. "When Job heard this, he tore his clothes and shaved his head because of his great sorrow. He knelt to the ground, then worshiped God and said, "We bring nothing at birth. We take nothing with us at death. The Lord alone gives and takes. Praise the name of the Lord." In spite of everything, Job did not sin or accuse God of doing anything wrong. This leads us to our first reason why you and I might experience tough times. Reason number one is to test us. We read this right in our passage from James. "You know that you learn to endure by having your faith tested." God allows Job to be tested in order to demonstrate Job's character and show that Satan's accusations of how Job would respond are false. Job did not serve God for personal benefit alone. To toss another log on the fire, there was actually a subsequent encounter between God and Satan where Satan again challenges Job's faithfulness and God. And the Lord tells Satan that he can cause even further tough times for Job. And Satan afflicts Job with painful sores from his top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And like before, Job did not sin. He did not curse God. Instead, he told his wife in verse 10, "Shall we accept good from God and not the trouble?" Friends, sometimes God uses tough times to test us, not to bring us pain, not to cause us to stumble, but rather to make us more like Him. God can use these times to help us learn our strengths and our weaknesses. And when you and I learn about our strengths and weaknesses, God can use those to help us. By knowing our strengths, He can help us use those wisely to further His kingdom, to do our jobs better, to improve our relationships and other aspects in our life. By understanding our weaknesses, He can help us work on those, to improve those areas of our character. And another reason could be that God wants to demonstrate His character through our actions to others. And this certainly was the case in Job's situation, as shown by his godly response in the most dire of adversity. The second reason the Bible tells us in the book of Job why we might experience tough times can be found in Job chapter 5, verse 17. "Consider yourself fortunate if God all-powerful chooses to correct you." Reason number two, God may use tough times to discipline us when we sin. All people, even the most godly people, sin. You can read this at home, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, and Hebrews 12, 4 through 11. These scripture sections tell us that God uses difficult circumstances to guide us back to Him when we stray. Both passages show God as a loving Father who wants to create correct behavior that will destroy us if we persist with it. Throughout Scripture, God deals with sin, not to vindictively punish us, but to lovingly correct us. Just like the way in which our parents use discipline on us when we do something wrong or dishonest, like grounding us from seeing our friends, or taking away our video games, or taking away our cell phones. And if you have a teen, being without that cell phone for 15 minutes, you know those are tough times. In the last few months of 2009, my division within my company went through a major top-to-bottom organizational restructuring. As a result, a large number of people would no longer have jobs in the IT division where I work. And as I walked out from my one-on-one meeting with my boss and human resources, finding out that I would be safe, I would have a job, I couldn't help but immediately start thinking about the people that I work with most closely in the area that I'm in called supply chain planning. Little by little, I started hearing the names of people who would have jobs, who would be saved. I also heard some names of people that would at some point over the next 2 years leave the organization, be transitioned out, be let go. I was especially curious to know about my friend Pui, who worked as a functional expert out of Australia. A functional expert is someone that knows an area of the business so well, and the computer software that the business uses to support that area so well. In fact, to be effective, these resources need to be the cream of the crop, the absolute best. And Poi is one of the top three most knowledgeable people in the entire corporation, and the only truly knowledgeable resource in all of Asia, Australia, and New Zealand. Surely, the organization would keep him. On November 18th, I received an email from Poi, which read as follows. Just letting you know that I'll be finishing up by the end of 2010. What? How could this happen? I was confused for sure. How could they let such an experienced and valuable resource go? This is ridiculous. I immediately emailed Poi back. Thanks for sharing your news with me. I'm anxious to understand this decision in the context of the entire region. This greatly concerns me both professionally and personally on behalf of a good friend. We'll continue to keep you and the situation in my prayers. God will provide. 2 days later, Poi's email response would bring me to tears by what God can do in someone's life through tough times. Poi writes, "Thanks for your prayers. It was much needed. God is the head over all things. I was given a second round offer late yesterday. I found out that what happened was the regional director had offered my job to someone else, a more senior manager, in favor of that person. But that person realized they didn't have the knowledge and experience to do my job and rejected the offer. God really has taught me two things in the last 2 days, the first of which is to be humble." Poi went on in his email to say, "I was so confident that I would have a job. Then God spoke to me via this verse. Luke 18:14. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And secondly, Poi said, "God is in control, not men." The third reason why tough times come into our lives is to make us humble. Just listen to Job chapter 22, verse 29. "When men are brought low and you say, 'Lift them up,' then he will save the downcast," he being God. God used these few short days to remind my friend the importance of remaining humble in all circumstances, even during those where there is the utmost certainty at what should happen. We truly serve a mighty God, and through the situation, he demonstrates he's in control, not men. And lastly, God uses tough times in our lives in order to change our perspective. Job 42:5 says, "I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes." Think back to the people represented in tonight's drama. Remember Meredith? She wanted nothing more in life than to have a child, but she couldn't. And even worse, the desire was still deep in her heart. What about Bridget, a college-bound graduate who lost a close friend in a car crash? Then there was Adam, a man who has become overwhelmingly consumed by his debt, seemingly no way out. Lisa, a young mother who, when her daughter was 3, learned she had cancer. And then there was Roy, a man who put others first, did everything for his family that he could, not selfish at all, but he loses his job. Just how did God change their perspective through tough times? Let's find out. Gang, let me assure you, God is with us in tough times. He says so in the latter half of Hebrews 13:5. I will never fail you. I will never abandon you, God says. I'll never forget when Wednesday night at men's group, as we welcomed a friend for the first time, he came in and he sat down and he said, guys, I hope it's okay I'm here tonight. I've got a lot of problems. Pastor Drew looked at him with that big Pastor Drew smile and responded, you've got problems. I've got problems. We all got problems. Pastor Drew got it right. We all do. And God knows we have tough times. Sometimes those situations are self-inflicted. Others, they're placed upon us. But in all cases, God can use them to accomplish His will if we learn to place our faith and trust in Him. I searched through the scripture looking for that all-powerful verse that says, God will spare me and you from tough times. God will answer every one of the questions clearly and quickly. And instead of tough times, God would give us the things we want, give me the things I want. Well, as you can clearly see, I didn't find that verse because He didn't make me thin. He didn't make me tall. And He hadn't removed any of my gray hair yet. And each one of you has been through a tough time or two in your life. Perhaps even you're going through it right now. And you haven't been able to answer the questions why. For me, those moments tend to remind me of the things God has done for me. The things in my life He has given, the questions. I have a beautiful wife, Shanda, of 20 years, who I can't live without. I have two exceptional children, Lauren and Andrew. I have a home and a job. An amazing group of friends, you, who help me, inspire me to be the person God wants me to be. God may not always give us the answer why for our tough times, yet I can tell you through seeking His plans for me and my life and studying His word, many of my questions have been answered. And God gave me something else I needed, the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. It's through His blood that you and I are saved. And through direct access to God by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I can endure the tough times by leaning on Him. Tough times that God uses to make us more like Him. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, help us to be glad for the tough times. I know it's a challenge for me to accept and a challenge for many others as well. Help us to be glad. Lord, help us to understand that in tough times, they come because You're testing us, to help us understand, to help us grow. Lord, sometimes tough times are used to discipline us. Help us to learn the lesson. Help us to get back into the comfort of Your arms. Lord, help us to remain humble. And Lord, change our perspective tonight through what You've said about tough times. Help us to use those to become strong, to become like You, and to touch others with Your love. Keep us safe as we go out of here this week through the weekdays. Bring us back next Saturday night, ready and willing to worship You again. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Have a great week. We'll see you.